It's the Freedom Fiends Live Sunday Show. This is Nima Badati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How you doing today, Michael?
I'm good, except one of my neighbors got a rooster, man.
Oh, you're going to tell us about your neighbor's cock?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
okay.
Like I feel like I'm back in LA now. Like in LA, everybody's got roosters. I remember
in LA, everybody's got roosters. Really?
I don't know.
That's a thing.
Well,
weird.
I remember going into this Mexican auto body shop that had parts for old cars when I had a Plymouth Barracuda '66 Plymouth. It's hard to get parts for, but there's one place that in Echo Park, LA, that had one. I remember going in there one time.
Mexican car shops always have roosters. I can see that.
Well, they had one like, I was like buying the part and there's a rooster like running down the counter. It's pretty awesome.
Nice.
But
I used to go to this skate park in Baytown and this old Vietnam vet with one arm ran it. And there would be turkeys from across the streets that would go and harass the skateboarders every now and then.
Yeah.
But
I guess they changed the zoning in my town. So you can have roosters now, and it's about a block away, so it's not like going to wake me up or anything, but I can hear it like every 10 seconds. And, you know, as I say in Libertarian Paradise, things would be a lot louder. I really do, because I think if there were no zoning, I think there'd be roosters everywhere.
Things would be louder, but I also think I think people would have better ways of coping for that personally, like everybody would wear those gun ears that filter out loud noises and have a little compressor inside. Everybody would have like concrete walls or something in their house, like bunkers to where the neighbor's noise wouldn't bug you, or the neighbors jamming with their band wouldn't even get outside of their house.
Everyone would have more land too, I think.
Yeah. Looking at some statistic the other day, there's something like 3% or something of the United States is actually has people like on the ground inhabiting it, and that makes complete sense because Alaska.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them
about where you live.
That Wyoming is empty and could support several million more people. Don't tell them.
Yeah, man. I think they already know. That's why they own all of it, right? I mean, the feds own like half of Wyoming's landmass. They own like half of the whole West. They know it. They just don't want to let anybody homestead it or own it or buy it, or they want it to be there for them. I don't know what they want to do with it, but they have it.
So someone wrote me today, Mark Schisler wrote me and said, Michael, you magnificent bastard. I saw your magnificent banner. And we have a new banner. That's by, I guess his name up here. It's Matt Sprinkle of Montana. And
hey, Michael, look at Banner.
Michael Banner. What's that from?
that's from Arrested Development. When Michael comes home, they're like, hey, Michael, look at Banner. Because they got him a banner that says like, happy birthday, Michael, or something.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. He just sent me this the other night and we went back and forth on it a little bit. And he runs a web design and SEO, I guess, company up in Montana called Flathead Media. It's flatheadmedia.com. Matt Sprinkle made our magnificent banner.
That's an awesome name too, Matt Sprinkle.
Yeah, from Flathead Media.
I can't tell if it sounds like a porn star name or a rock star name.
Well, there is an Annie Sprinkle who was I think she was a porn star about 60 years ago, but now she's a sexologist, which is I guess that's a job.
That's what porn stars become when they're a little too old to do DVDA.
Yeah, they write books and give seminars and do performance art. And I think it's a job description that only exists in San Francisco, and I don't live there anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a cool banner, though. It's got a go to the website, people, and see it. But it's got
FreedomFiends.com.
A Bengal cat on it. Tell the folks what a Bengal.
Well,
I didn't
Bengal
know what it was.
A Bengal cat is a type of house cat that's actually a mixed breed of a wild Bengal, which is sort of like a sort of like an Asian leopard looking, bobcat. It's like, it's a wild cat. So these are wild cats and they look like leopards and they're a little bigger than house cats. They're not violent.
They're
a lot
bigger
than
house cats.
There's something about like they,
medium sized dog size. It looks like on Wiki.
Yeah. And, there's a picture of one of those licking his lips and looking at a bunch of government mice he's about to eat. And he's talking into an SM58 microphone, which is what you use.
Yeah.
And, one of the mice has a sign that says appeasement. which is, as we know, you know, giving in to your enemy to get, you know, which is what they want us to do now with guns, is appease them.
Right.
The next mouse, the pink mouse, says, "Here to help." Like, I'm from the government. I'm here to help. And then it's pointing.
It has an arrow pointing.
Pointing at three mice with drones on their backs. And it looks, one's cut off, so it looks like there's an eternal line of mice coming to this cat for him to eat with his microphone. Right.
It's that's kind of us, you know, all the way down, man.
We just, there is so much tyranny today. There is just, I can't keep up with it. You know, I get on my Twitter feed and it's like, oh, DHS wants to buy 30,000 assault rifles. Obama wants to take your assault rifles. High ranking members of the military who won't command people to fire on U.S. citizens being retired early. You know, it's like they want to kill you for your guns. They really do. And our attitude about it is,
I think they just want to kill you, and guns is one excuse they can get some people on board with.
Well, you know, there's this kind of conspiracy theory. Alex Jones talks about it a lot. And there's some good discussion of it on the latest Anarchy Gumbo at kittyfeet.com. Monica Perez, the anarcho-capitalist soccer mom, not to be confused
with Rosie's sister, right?
Not to be confused with anarchist soccer mom, who's a blogger who's not an anarchist. Yeah. But this is a real, genuine, knows her stuff anarchist soccer mom who kind of looks like pin-up girl for Liberty. She's married, she has kids, but she's gorgeous, and you know, we can use more of that in the Liberty. And she's a really smart lady. Moreover, she's a really smart lady who has a radio show on a 50,000-watt station in Florida. And she talks about this theory that the powers that be, the secret shadow government that runs the world, wants to kill 80% of the world, not because they can't be sustained, but because they can't rule that many people. And they want to kill everyone except the 20% that are totally rulable. And I never really believed that theory, but I could sort of believe it when there's things like that happening, where they want to take our guns, buy more guns for them, and are firing generals that won't fire on U.S. citizens, among other things.
I don't know how much I buy the theory. I don't know. I there's probably some people who want to. I don't know if they have the ability or not.
George Soros. I'm sorry, what?
Right. Yeah. And I don't know.
You had some boots on the ground tyranny this week. Tell us your story.
I did. Well, I will, but there's only like 2 minutes left in this segment. Okay. So I'm going to save that for the next segment. But I did. I hate it when people talk about dreams, but I did have a drone dream. I had a dream that me and Scott Horton were airdropped into Iraq during the biggest, most violent time. And like, we were running around and all of a sudden there was a drone attack. But it wasn't like drone attacks really are, because drone attacks really, you can't see or hear the drones, you don't know they're there. All of a sudden something just explodes. But in this nightmare, the drones were like World War II bombers. There were so many of them, the sky was thick with drones, and they would swoop down and just explode things. It was very intense and scary. So drones are coming. I've never had a drone based nightmare before, so I don't know what that means.
That's excellent. I have a really quick thing.
Is it excellent?
For the last 2 minutes. I thought you were going to say, I had a dream where my drone wouldn't work when I needed it to. Like, you know,
Well, you've been having dreams where your mic doesn't work, which was interesting.
Those are gone, man. My mic's working great in life and dreams. But something I said ended up on CSI, on the show CSI.
Huh. Okay.
It's so cool. Okay. Season 13, episode 9. It's called Strip Maui of CSI, not Miami, but CSI, the main one in Las Vegas. They did a show where one of the criminals was using printable guns. And he was actually using completely printed guns with plastic barrels that were one-shot only disposable guns.
Okay.
And
was it them trying to villainize the concept?
Yes. They also said the printers cost $150,000, and they actually cost about $2,000. Well, the one Cody's using is old and he's $2,000. Yeah. So they wanted to make you think you couldn't do it. And the criminal was getting, you know, an allergy to the plastic on his hands. So they wanted to scare you with that. But they said in it, you know, they said they figured out, like, he's making, what if you only needed to fire one shot with a gun? That is what I told Cody when I interviewed him. I said, you know, you don't need to make the perfect gun. You need to make one that'll fire one shot. And he's like, you're right. And he started using that in every interview. And CSI, you know, obviously picked up on the Cody thing and picked up on my line. So where's my check, Hollywood? I'm kidding.
You owe me. I own that words.
I'm kind of honored because, like, I've been really into those shows for some reason for a decade. And, like, something I said ended up on that
show.
They
know how to itch your crazy cat spot. That's That's it. You don't want to watch
the TV is talking to me, Nima. I mean, it sounds crazy.
Hypnotoad.
But, you know, Hypnotoad.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Oh, it's them Freedom Fiends. I am Nima Vedati, and we've got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. Somebody said that Freedom Fiend fan said, the Freedom Fiends, a couple of unmutual, double plus ungood ne'er-do-wells who should immediately turn themselves in for re-education.
I love it. We should have that be our blurb that we send out to radio stations.
Actually, that is
double plus
good.
Ungood. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Good writing.
And then just attribute it to some guy on the internet.
Yeah. Some guy. Or some the guy. Internet. Found the internet.
Attribute it to the internet.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It'd be great to write a term paper and just cite your sources. The internet.
The internet. Every source. Yes. So you had some tyranny boots on the ground from Austin police. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Luckily, the boots stayed on the ground and didn't touch my back or my face.
Or your groin.
But it was kind of hectic for a little bit there. I got stopped. I was driving the caddy. I was delivering pizzas. I had just called the customer who was living at the Four Seasons residence. So a good customer that probably would have tipped pretty well. In fact, they ended up tipping pretty well, but that's later in the story. So I'm driving, going downtown, and I go through a yellow light. It doesn't turn red. So I'm thinking, oh, whatever, even though there's a cop behind me. But then the cop lights turn on. They start to pursue. So I go and pull into a parking lot. Comes up to my window and is like, yeah, I pulled you over because your license plate bulb is just completely off. You don't have anything lighting your license plate up. And I'm like, ah, okay. Well, yeah, I've been pulled over for this before. I showed him the bulbs that I had bought. I said, you know, I bought the bulbs. I just haven't had a chance to put them in yet. I didn't think it was that high of a priority. He's like, well, I'll go ahead and give you a warning now. So he writes me a warning, comes back, gives me my ID back and everything. And then I let out this audible sigh like, phew. And I don't know if he heard it or if it's relevant, but
was it more like, ugh. That's what
it was like, yeah, thank God I got out of that one. Because going through my head was the fact that, remember, a few casts ago, I told y'all I was recording music in the Cadillac with some other rappers.
Some homies.
And the cops came and you know, kind of harassed us, but they ended up letting us go. But before the cops that time let us go, they said, hey, you have a warrant. So I knew that I had this warrant out there, and that crossed my mind as the cop was writing me the warrant, or not the warrant, the warning this time. And he gave me the warning, and so I let out the sigh, like, whew, he didn't check the warrant. I'm good to go. And I put the car in drive, and I start to drive away. Then all of a sudden I hear, hold on, wait, put the car back in park. Give me your ID again. Takes my ID. I put the car back in park. He asked me to get out of the car, so I step out of the car. He asked me to walk over in front of his car, facing his car, you know, with my hands near the hood. And as I turn around, I see that there's now five cops instead of the one. There's five cops from different departments, too. It's Austin PD and Travis County Sheriff's. And they all get out of their car, and they all start questioning me. Like I'm not looking at one authority figure, but they're, like, ganging up on me. And one's like, did you ever run from the cops? And I'm like, no. And they're like, did you have any problems with that? You know, maybe in the past. I'm like, well, I think what you're talking about is my failure to obey lawful order warrant. And so I told him the story about how, you know, knocked down the cones or whatever. The cop pulls me out of the car, you know, 10 years ago and yells at me. And he ends up wanting to charge me with something, but doesn't write me a ticket at that point because he takes me to jail. This is 10 years ago. I go to court like three times after I get out of jail to try to pay whatever they're going to charge me with. They keep sending me home saying they don't have the paperwork filled out. The officer hasn't gotten around to it. And the third time they just say, hey, you know, you can stop coming to court every week. We'll just let you know. We'll mail you something whenever we figure it out. They never mail me anything, you know. And this is in 2002 or 2003 or something. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, you have a warrant. When it was on them to let me know I had the warrant. So, you know, I tell the cops this and they're like, yeah, well, you got to take care of it and you got a warrant now. So I'm going to have you put your hands behind your back. So I put the hands behind the back. They handcuff me. They start frisking me, asking me if I got any weapons or anything sharp that's going to poke them. I tell them no because I don't. And, you know, it was I guess I wasn't super scared. I was like, oh, well, you know. I guess I had prepared for it mentally. I was like, well, whatever. If they're going to take me in, they're going to take me in. And the way I interact with cops usually is I realize that there's nothing I can say in general that's going to dissuade them from doing what they think is their job. So I don't act like a baby. I don't say, you have no right to do this or what you're doing is immoral, even though I think that and I know that. I'm just like, okay, yeah, whatever. I just sort of sit there and take it, try to lighten the mood a little bit. So I think I'm going to jail. They call my boss, you know, they're like, hey, can anybody come get your car? Anybody from work? I'm like, yeah, my manager, call him. So they call my manager and he's like, what? You know, like Kyle Broskowski's mom. And he ends up saying, yeah, we'll send somebody down. And then right as they're about to do that, one of the five cops is like, he's on the phone. He's like, hold on, wait. They won't confirm the warrant. The person, the clerk who's supposed to do that is out of the office. She went home early because it's Friday.
The hilarious thing about all this to me is like, you know, your warrant's like $250 and you're going to pay it on Monday. And how much money did it cost them to have five cops there for an hour hassling?
Yeah.
Probably way more than $250.
Right. Exactly. But I literally said, saved by the bell, and I sort of started laughing. And I expected some laughs from them, but they just kind of looked at me. One of them cracked a little smile, but I was trying to like make jokes and, you know, be all funny because, hey, now I'm not going to jail. I'm in a great mood. Some of them seemed downright disappointed, but, you know, and it was just kind of weird to me. Like my wife and my wife's mom were saying, that doesn't make any sense. Like they have a warrant on you, supposedly. They can take you to jail. That's what a warrant means. That's like the definition of it. It's a warrant for your arrest. And I'd never heard of anything like that either. Like, in fact, the first time I got taken to jail on a warrant, it was, you know, the middle of a Sunday or the middle of a Saturday. I wouldn't imagine the clerk would be there then either. So I don't know.
That's,
I guess,
good.
It's just
that
the
means
good luck I've been having with
the bureaucracy
cops.
Is choking the system, which is good. That's a good thing. That works for
that
us.
That is good. Yes. And we've talked about that before, about how, you know, going through border checkpoints and such last summer, you know, that's how we would always get by, is they'd be eating a sandwich and be like, whatever, just going through. And
tweeting on their face words.
Yeah. On face space.
Yeah. And, you know, if they had some kind of gun control law that makes every Republican and every libertarian in America a felon, I mean, trying to enforce that, I mean, yeah, a few people are going to end up in prison, but it's going to be so momentous. Like, it's going to be your clusterfuck with the Austin PD times 100 million.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But five guys can't even take me to jail on a warrant.
How many cops Austin, does Texas? It take to write a ticket? Yeah.
Yeah, apparently so, a lot.
How you know, a bunch of people are yammering on the people are saying in the chat room that we need to be talking about this thing with Anonymous about how they took down part of the Department of Justice's website. And I'm like, is Anonymous talking about us? Come on, man. Everybody in the world, every liberty site in the world is yammering about Anonymous. How many of them are talking about NEMA's contact with the Austin PD? I mean, I think this is more important to us. It really is. So, F talking about what everyone else talks about. We talk about our
Dave thing. Asks, was the pizza cold? I did deliver it about 20 or 30 minutes late, but I told them I got pulled over for having the light bulb out on my license plate. And the guy who's rich and lives in this, you know, Four Seasons place was like, that's ridiculous. And then he tipped me $6. So my customer was very upset that the cops made his pizza cold.
I have comments about you and your light when we come back after selling some things on Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Nima.
FreedomFiends.com. Yeah.
Nima.
Ah, I'm here.
Yeah. Before we talk about your light on your car, I want to say that today's episode is called Cats Must Flow. Have we talked about that concept on here?
Cats Must Flow.
Yeah.
Are you saying that it's an imperative that people freestyle rap? Like, cats gotta flow, dog.
No, it's about my cats. No. It's actually a takeoff on the line Spice Must Flow from the book and movie Dune. But in that world...
Which is a takeoff on if goods and services don't flow across borders, troops will?
Ooh, I like that. But troops kind of do for Spice anyway. It's like he who controls the Spice controls the world kind of thing, you know? Yeah. And Spice is, it's hallucinogenic to some people, but to most people what it does is just it makes you healthy. You live for a long time if you take Spice. So Spice
I really hope I'm the kind of guy that it's hallucinogenic for.
Well, it would do both for you then. You'd live long and hallucinate, my son.
Yeah.
But, cats must flow. Now, when I take a nap, and sometimes Charlie takes a nap in the bed with me and powers my space tube. Everyone knows that when I sleep, I wrap up in a burrito with the blankets and pretend I'm in a space tube flying through space, and that's how I've fallen asleep since I was a little kid.
Everybody knows.
Yeah, everyone knows. So, but cats must flow is always it's about a decision whether to leave my door open or not while I'm sleeping, because if I leave it open, there's a good chance Fuzzy will come in and mess with Charlie and wake me up. But if I shut it, there's a good chance Charlie will try to get out and scratch at my door to get out. So when I leave it open, I say to my wife, and she says to me, cats must flow. It's got nothing to do with liberty.
We should record her saying that. No, it has everything to do with liberty. The cats need the liberty to flow, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when they flow, it gets noisy. And Libertarian Paradise would be noisier in a lot of places than our current world, especially since there'd be roosters everywhere, probably. But,
right. You know. I think
whoever has the rooster probably listened to the cast where I said, yes, people should be preparing for not having food and they should grow gardens with heirloom seeds and have chickens. And under the chicken coop, you have worms, and then you can use the worms to aerate the soil and use for mulch. And it's a big, system, and it's a closed system, and it works.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone probably listened to that and did it. And I'm like, damn neighbors with their roosters. Which I guess I'm just theoretical libertarian
theorist.
Are you theorist? So you how long did it take you? You did put this light.
I got something on cats must flow. Okay. I'm a big proponent. I'm a proponent. I'm pro phones.
I'm for radio. I'm a radio.
I do a talk show. Yay, lady!
No, but for real though, I think cat doors are an awesome solution. I don't have any, but I would like to have some because I don't know. I feel like we should close the door and be able to keep our dog in, because our dog is kind of like big and dumb, and he'll just do whatever. Like if you sit him on the bed or lock him in the door, he won't care. He won't scratch at the door. He'll just be like, "I guess I'm staying in here tonight." But the cats will get vocal and loud, and they'll be like, "Wow!" So I think a door that would let the cats flow but not let the dog flow would be ideal for my situation.
There's two ways to do that. One is if you have a big dog, you have a little cat door. And the other is you can actually have like magnetic sensors and magnetic things in their collar. Although I don't know if magnets are good for pets.
We talked to Randall Perry about it. He knows how to rig up all that cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So this speaking of rigging stuff up, the little light on your that you got the fix it. Not the fix it ticket, but more like the fix it, like, you know, ganged up on.
Well,
it took enough cops, like, that's enough cops to, like, you know, stop an armed robbery, maybe. Right. And they sent that many to you because of this 29-cent bulb that you
How many cops does it take to replace a light bulb, literally?
Oh, I didn't even think of that, man. That's brilliant. Yeah, it's a light bulb. There is a light bulb. How many cops does it take to make you replace a light bulb?
Right. Yeah.
That might be a better name
for this story. I don't think they didn't all show up until... Because originally it was just one cop, but it was for the light bulb. But once he – because I think he was lazy about it. Like I think he was about to let me out with a warning, and maybe his computer was still loading up the warrant search results, and he was like, well, whatever. He's probably clean. But when he came back, I think he hollered for backup, because it wasn't until after he told me, hold on, wait, put your car back in park, that the other cops showed up. And they asked me, you know, had I ran from the cops before. So I think they saw the warrant was for failure to obey lawful order, and they realized, oh, this is one of those that might not submit. This is a mundane that might give us problems. And that's when the five cops showed up.
New episode title. How many cops does it take to make Nima replace a light bulb?
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other thing is, you know, I was talking with my family because we had a little family dinner with some of our extended family yesterday, and a lot of them had been pulled over lately, and for little things like my mother-in-law for supposedly following too closely, but it was like right after she pulled out of a turn. She had just turned, and then she backed off of the person. So she was following too closely for like a few seconds maybe until the other person sped up a little bit. And so, she got pulled over for that, and she was thinking, you know, I felt like it was just a warrant check, just a fishing expedition. And the last time I got pulled over for the light bulb, it really felt like the same way. So I feel like they've been in their boardrooms showing, you know, the big cop showing the little cops, hey, these are the things. Here's a list of the things that you need to be pulling people over for this many times an hour to meet your goals, because we need to make sure we're checking for warrants and doing fishing expeditions is really what it feels like a lot lately here in Austin.
So before we get out of Nima's adventures in warrant land, how long did it take you to replace the light bulb, which you did that night on the street later? How long did it take you?
Yeah, like 5 minutes. It was a bitch. I didn't have a ratchet. I had to use a little pair of pliers, and I hurt my thumb. So, it was a bitch, but it took 5 minutes.
So I kind of want to chide you for that and say you should have done that. And I'm sure like Mark Stevens would say, oh, Michael's a statist. He's saying that you should comply with the law. But, you know, I kind of go more with the Boston Tea Party thing. And the book that turned me on to libertarianism was Boston Tea Party's book, You and the Police. And basically the first page or the first couple pages of it, one of the things, the first thing it tells you to do is keep your car in working condition, licensed, registered, up to date, and all lights on it working. Like literally, this would not have happened. It wouldn't have wasted your night. You wouldn't have almost gone to jail if you'd you'd taken that 5 minutes that afternoon, you know, instead of checking your Twitter on your face space. You could have gone out to in front of your house in broad daylight with the right tools and changed this thing in 2 minutes. All right. That is, to me, the moral of the story, the moralistic or just the like the actual like nut
the
of,
lesson
this story.
Of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't don't be cop bait, man. Don't be cop bait. That's the moral of the story.
That's a really good point.
You know, it's kind of like...
Unless you're trying to do that for some activism, like some cop blocking peaceful street stuff.
Yeah, well...
Whatever, but
okay,
I'm
not. Let me see your video of this whole exchange. And
well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not like that. I didn't try to record it. I could have. I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to piss him off. I was at work. I had to make money that night. More so because I knew that, hey, and now I've got to actually pay this damn warrant.
I mean, this could have cost you thousands of dollars. If they'd thrown you in jail, you would have been in all weekend. You would have lost, you know, several $100 in revenue from work. You might have lost your job. Your car might have gotten towed or robbed or ripped off. You know, I mean, what if they'd said, we're taking you to jail and your boss isn't here yet to pick up your car. We're just going to stick, you know, the keys in the exhaust pipe and call them. And then they forgot to call them. And then the cop did also forget to give you your driver's license back, but he brought it to your shop, which is interesting.
Which was really interesting. Yeah. He kept it. Which was understandable because as soon as they let me go, as soon as the handcuffs were off, I was like, I got to go, guys. It's been fun, but I got to go. You know, I told this customer I'd be there 5 minutes ago, and that was 25 minutes ago. So peace, and just left. And yeah, I didn't think to get my license back from him, and he didn't think to give it back to me. But the following day, he apparently showed up at Domino's to drop it off. You know, my wife was like, maybe he was showing up to arrest you.
I think he was
the warrant now.
Or... Yeah, that's very possible. Or he kept intentionally maybe so he could show up and just check out the shop and see if there's anything he could arrest them for, you know, or cite them for.
Maybe. Although I didn't get that kind of vibe from him. He was kind of middle-aged and kind of felt to me like he had gotten onto the force and, you know, really wanted to maybe do good. Like he was a do-gooder. And then now they're making him do all these things and he's kind of lazy and surly about it. Because... He obviously didn't wait for the warrant check. It obviously wasn't a huge priority to him. It was an afterthought. And then he kind of felt like he was hassled by the fact that he actually had to put me in handcuffs now. So, I don't know. Maybe he's just a good guy that's caught up in a bad system and is 2 years away from retirement, you know? We'll be back.
I want to welcome our new listeners in Bosnia. We have some.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Freedom Fiends Radio. Click on the blue Listen link at freedomfiends.com, streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. On Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Yes.
the Freedom Fiends live. You can call in, I guess, if you want. The number is 307-215-5171. Again, 307-215-5171. Yeah.
Freedom Fiends,
yo.
Yep. Freedom Fiends.
Here, I'll make you echo.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have toys. We don't have all the we don't have all the equipment that most radio stations have. Most radio stations have, you know, $250,000 worth of equipment plus their broadcast equipment. You know, and Ian Freeman has been doing it for a long time, and he saved up and got a lot of good stuff. And good kudos to him. Good for him. And it helps us do our thing. We don't have a lot of equipment. Totally. We have about my mixer's worth $250. My tube preamp is worth about $100. And then I just got a bunch of computers, really, and a $130 mic. Yep. Nima's got about that, a little more, but we make good stuff
this,
with it.
This $250 thing that you gave me, this preamp that I just love. It's like the best thing ever. The S&M Audio.
You've never owned any real rack mount equipment, have you?
Well, my audio interface could be rack mounted, but
it's not a half rack mount, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a half rack, and I don't think anybody really rack mounts it. But it can be. It's got little slots to.
I want a rack. I want a rack, man.
I want a rack too, and but I've also got my Newmark DXM06, which really helps run things because that's how I can talk into the computer and play things from the computer and broadcast those if I want to. I did an interview on Skype with Ben Stone the other day, and I Skyped and recorded from one computer but on two different channels. You know, so his voice and my voice are recorded on two separate channels, so for later sweetening and
gives you more
great.
Options. Yeah. And I'm actually recording and casting, not butt casting, but doing the mumble into LRN on an old Windows XP laptop that only has a gig of RAM. And the reason I use an older computer for that is because I use an older mixer that they never issued drivers for it to work with Windows 7 or Linux. So I'm having to use that, but it works great. I mean, it works fine. And if this computer ever died, I'd probably go on eBay and spend $100 and buy another Windows XP laptop.
Right.
I kind of like older equipment.
The real bottleneck as far as the way we do the show now is that mumble sometimes makes my voice bounce because it's dropping packets.
Yeah, we need a Comrex codec, Comrex brick codec, which costs $1,500. So if there are any libertarian millionaires out there who want to really improve the Fiends, talk to me, baby. So the tubes, I finally get my tube back, and I like it because then I don't have to be like, oh, hi, this is NPR's Delicious Dish to sound good. I can actually, like, you know, jump around a bit on the mic and doesn't distort a lot, and it sounds a little better and a little warmer and
a
little sexier.
We should do a movie, How Michael Got His Tube Back.
Yeah. So I couldn't believe it. I mean, they're like $16 each. I couldn't believe I didn't have a spare, and they die really quickly. They work perfectly, and then they die in like 5 minutes. So it died during a show, and I had to pull it out and bypass it. And for a few casts, I didn't have a preamp limiter.
You mean
compressor.
They die really quickly, like the time when it starts to fail to the time that it's dead? Not the amount of time that they last.
Right.
They last like 6 months to a year,
six
right?
6 months to a year, yeah. So, but I had
I'm going to open my tube on the air while you do this.
Well, we can watch if we had a webcam. I actually already did the video. I posted the
It's an audio.
It's like
unboxing.
It's like breaking the seal on a new girl, which is what I always thought about cutting open the pantyhose, but that's a whole different story.
You know, I used to think pantyhose were super sexy. I guess I still kind of do. Pantyhose are sexy, man.
They are, and a lot of people think they're not, but yeah. So tubes and pantyhose is the topic. Call in on our call-in line if you have something to say about tubes and pantyhose. The call-in line for the Freedom Fiends Live is I don't even want to give it out. If you know it, you know it. No, you want to give it out, Nima?
Yeah, okay, I guess.
But I bought three tubes this week. I've been helping the tube industrial complex. I bought four. I bought three for me and one for you. So
the tube-based economy is going well.
Yeah.
Even though some might call it a Michael Dean bubble, I would say that it's not. It's a true boom.
307-215-5171. All right, we gave it out.
Yeah.
No, it's 307-205-215. 5171. You're not helping.
Wow.
Or Skype the username KittyFeet1. Freedom Fiends, the call-in show where they don't want you to call in. Nah, you can call in, man. If you got something to say about tubes or pantyhose.
Here's what I want to say about tubes, though. I want a tube that is like giant, like the size of a beer can, a tall boy beer can. and sticks out vertically.
Well,
the top
did you see? Did you see the how to how it's made TV episode about tubes that was on YouTube? YouTube. I sent you a link to it. It was awesome. They're hand blown by like glass blowers, and
yeah. But I want to see it while it's working, and I want it to have a little light that lights up the louder. Well, I guess my preamp has
your
a little
tubes
light.
A little. Do you have tube envy? You want bigger tubes?
Yeah, my tubes. I've got a tiny
but
tube.
Somebody said that making tubes is amazing. It's like a cross between like blacksmithery and, you know, and radio and like electrical engineering. Blacksmithing and electrical.
Yeah,
it's very old world and it's new, you know?
Yeah, because you blow the glass. You've got this hot fiend glass phone. And you're putting fiend fancy phone. Stuff in it. Oh, it's a fiend phone.
Hello, fiend. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hello. Hey, it's Craig.
Craig
what, Devlin.
What's up?
How's it going?
Do I have 307-215-5171?
You're calling
yeah,
a radio
the
show.
Fiends.
You're live on a radio show.
Right. Is this Nima or?
This is
well,
Michael, and that's Nima.
I'm Nima. That's Michael.
Oh, okay. I got a joke about how many police does it take to screw in a light bulb.
Okay.
Okay.
What? You got it?
All right, tell your joke, man. Tell your joke. You're live.
Okay, I'm live?
Yeah,
okay.
You're live.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear me. All right, so how many police does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
Six. Six while five stand around and watch.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened with Nima.
That's exactly
that's
what
good.
Happened.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. I got a couple more. Two.
All right.
Okay.
One to shoot out the light, one to replace the bulb.
Or, I got one. Two. One to shoot out the light and the other to put a throwaway gun in the bulb's hand.
Whoa!
Nice.
That's really good. All right, how about this one? None. Who needs a light with a fish finder?
I don't get it.
Oh,
it's a fishing joke.
I mean, who needs a light when you got a big fat fucking flashlight?
A mag light. Oh, you cussed on the air,
right.
Man.
Right. That's it. And here's the last one, okay?
Okay.
Two.
All right.
One to stand on a chair and one to say, clockwise, idiot.
Cool, man. Thanks. Thanks for calling in. I like
thanks
your
for
jokes.
Jokes, homie.
All right, bitch. Hey, Nima. Nima.
All right.
How you doing?
Yeah. Man? What's up? I'm doing great.
Are you smoking some harsh blunts or what?
when Ben Stone did my impression, I'm on
rock.
Some harsh blunts, man.
You rock. Hey, man.
Hey, you rock.
Tell me the name of your band.
I think
tell
we're called
the name of your band that you were in.
Who? Nima.
Michael.
I was in a band. It's called Bomb. You could go to michaelwdean.com, click on
right.
My Media, and then go down. Okay. It's listed on there. You can download most of it.
All right.
Hey,
man, you guys are great.
Take care, brother.
All right.
Keep rocking.
Peace.
Bye.
All right. Hey,
we will.
Talk to you. Thank you.
Bye.
All yeah. Right,
that was festive and fun. I like that.
It was. Yeah, that guy had energy. He had like almost Eddie Hancock level energy. that's really awesome.
Yeah.
Kudos to you. Yes. Speaking of rocking and music, who was it? I forgot. A friend of mine, Ed, I think it's Ed Swain. He's a Facebook friend and a Fiend listener. Yeah, I think that's him. Let me look up his thing. He was posting lyrics to a Suicidal Tendencies song. Are you familiar with Suicidal Tendencies,
Michael? I've seen them live back in the day, man. Yep.
Yeah? Were they awesome?
Not really. Okay, Suicidal Tendencies really. Were kind of metal-y punk rock, and they had a song called Institutionalized that was really well-known. It was kind of like played on radio, and they were actually sponsored by Pepsi. They were kind of like fake punk, and a lot of like real punks didn't really dig them, and they were kind of like really macho. I think the bass player went on to join Metallica, if I remember correctly. But song, Bomb kind of borrowed a bass line from that. It's just this bass line in the song Institutionalized. It goes, which is the song Bomb. We used that in the Happy All the Time. I'm happy all the time. Power Suggestion is the name of the song. But yeah, they were kind of annoying, man. I mean, it would be kind of like...
But Institution was it? I guess I don't know
Institutionalized.
Any
Institutionalized. It's from the standpoint of a kid whose mother comes in and sees him like staring into the space in his room and thinks he's on
drugs.
She's
like, you're on drugs.
And has him institutionalized. And he's like, all I wanted was a Pepsi. It's a really dumb hook. I mean, saying have you heard that cool band would be like me saying, oh, you're into rap. Have you heard what would be something really that like... really mainstream that most people don't like that are in, you know, have you heard Hey, you like rap? Do you like Will Smith? He's great.
Yeah. Well, it was a seg that I just wanted to talk about the song. The song is a good song though. It's got lyrics that are good for our purposes.
I got something I got something better. I saw your I Own Me video on a list of favorite videos on YouTube, along with the Descendants song, America, which is definitely worth checking out, man. And that's a much cooler reference. And there you go. Someone likes you and they like the Descendants, America. Which has a good line. It's like, I'm proud and ashamed every 4th of July, which for a statist, I kind of, you know, that's a good statist line.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarious money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Yo, Freedom Fiends.
Yo.
Yo.
What's up, Michael?
Yo.
Yeah. So we enjoyed listening to that whole section of news and ads. I particularly enjoyed the bye-bye box.
But before that, there was something that kind of sounded like NPR, but was liberty-oriented, which was good.
Yeah, what's that thing called?
I don't know, but before that, there was something that sounded like a lobotomized NPR. You know, someone, a fiend recently, we've been talking about NPR a lot because I've finished reading a book, a couple of books about radio. That I did reviews of, and there's links to on the Freedom Fiends blog. You can go check it out if you want to be a radio personality or a podcaster. They're both good books. So check that out. One is the NPR style guide, and the other is called like Producing Radio or something. I don't know what it's called. I can't go look. Should I go look? I probably should, because not everybody is looking. One's called the Radio Producer's Handbook. One is called Sound Reporting, the NPR Guide to Audio Journalism and Audio Production, which you can actually get a lot from, even if you don't want to sound like you've got a lobotomy like NPR and talk about how great the state is and the Democrats are.
Well, here's the tip I have for the Liberty folks that are trying to sound like NPR. I don't know if they're trying to, but whatever that Liberty-oriented news thing was that we heard in the middle, you got to spruce it up, make it lively. And I'm not just talking about the pacing, but you shouldn't have a chunk of reporter track or anchor track that goes on for too long. And for me, I think too long is 30 seconds. Put some Nat sound in there. Put some sound bites. You know, have an interview with somebody, a phoner, or at least some sound, you know, like to use like B-roll, just some sound underground. If you're talking about a protest, sound from the protest, things like that. You know, that's what makes people want to listen. They want to feel like they're there in their head and not necessarily just like somebody's talking. When it's a conversation, when it's opinion like me and Michael do, then that's different. And a lot of it is about just talking and having a conversation. But if it's news and reporting what happened, you need to have other aids to help people get the picture or the audio picture in their head.
Well, what that suffered from, the first one, was the same thing that a Fiend fan, since we've been talking about NPR and joking about how it sounds like liquid Valium, sent us his recording, a recording of him reading the Fiend's bio, you know, like 30 seconds of it in what he said was an NPR voice. But it suffered, and I told him this, it suffered from the same thing that that first one that we listened to in the break suffered from, which is NPR, people on NPR all sound like they've had a lobotomy. But they sound like they're excited to have a lobotomy. And that did not sound like he was excited about his lobotomy. He sounded like he just kind of given in to having a lobotomy instead of, and today we're going to talk about how we've had a lobotomy and how wonderful it is and how the state can help by stealing more tax money. And we need more money from fiends like you. I can't even do it. That's an approximation, but I sound kind of like
submissive, but happy.
Someone said I kind of sound like I'm trying to lure children into my van with candy.
Hey, do you like popsicles?
Yeah. Let's get off that tip. So, you know, I'm recuperating from an accident. It's a sock skating accident. I was sock skating on our wooden floor.
How old are you?
I actually got a splinter. And I pulled most of it out, but I couldn't get the tip. So it's still in my foot. And I'm having trouble walking long distances, but fortunately I don't walk long distances.
You know what you could do? What we do when we get a splinter that we can't get out, or a shard of glass, or sometimes metal, you know, we tend to get lots of splinters from various materials here in our household. I don't know why or how, but what we do is we make what my wife calls a poultice. I guess that's what it's called. I call it a poultry just because I'm goofy. And
It's basically goo.
It's like some you can take Vaseline or petroleum jelly and put some salt in it, and then wipe it over the wound, and then cover it in a Band-Aid. And overnight, it'll help to suck the splinter or the metal or the shard of glass out.
So Nima's advice on using Vaseline to help suck.
You said it, not me.
Yeah. How old am I? Old to 48, and I still sock skate. I like to sock skate.
Sock skate.
Cats must flow. Yes. So New York City places full body scanners on the streets. That's wonderful to look for guns.
I saw that. Although I felt like it was really early in the process, like they just have one now and they're kind of beta testing it. I don't know, but I saw the video on RT of them talking about this, and a guy that was advocating obviously against it they had on first, because it is RT and not CNN or Fox. And the guy was like, you know, he thinks this will make stop and frisks more prevalent, whereas the police department is saying, no, it'll be less prevalent because we'll be able to see who has what. But no, they're going to mistake things for contraband. They're going to mistake your pen for a syringe and, you know, your cell phone for a gun and all sorts of things, especially at long distances. And so he thinks it'll give cops more legal cover to harass people in person.
So let's have a little freedom fix before we go on to the video of the Obama lady saying people who don't support Obama should be shot.
I thought we were going to do the Descendants.
Yeah, we're going to play America by the Descendants. And I found this on a list of stuff the internet likes that included your I Own Me video. The Descendants are good. They're kind of from way back in the day, early 80s. They created a sound which has been much imitated by everybody, you know, up through Green Day. What was the other big punk rock, The Offspring.
So the Descendants were actually more of the originators.
Right. And I like that the Offspring called themselves that after, and I think it's after the Descendants, but you know, a couple bands went like quadruple, you know, decepal, platinum based on the sound of this older band.
Maybe I'm just old, and I guess I am old, but for me, like, the Offspring never got better than their first album. Green Day never got better than their first album.
We're going to turn you on to the Descendants today. And I have a Descendants story. I remember the first time they played in San Francisco, it was a place called The Farm, which actually was a farm in the city, and they had goats and pigs and chickens.
Nice.
And a punk rock club. And it was
nice.
Jay Crawford, the guitarist in Bomb, actually got sentenced to go work there for too many traffic tickets. So nice. it was kind of a, you know, state sponsored youth club that had a farm and punk rock. And I saw the Descendants there, and I remember before they went on, they had all these raging punk rock bands that were all mean and nasty and, you know, looked brutal. And there was this one guy there who just looked totally out of place. He was totally nerdy looking, like almost had a pocket protector kind of look, and glasses and short, nerdy hair. Not a tie, but he just looked like, you know, he was going to the math club meeting at, you know, first year of college or something.
He was a mathlete.
Yeah. And I felt sorry for him. Nobody was talking to him. I mean, I thought he looked like he was going to get beat up. You know, there were like tough skinhead looking people there. And I went over to him and talked to him and introduced myself and chatted with him a little bit. And tried to make him feel welcome, and which I used to do at punk rock shows. I'd find the guy that was more outcast than me and try to cheer him up. And you know, we talked for a little bit. He's really kind of nervous, and he looked like he wanted a friend, but he was too nervous to talk. And then about 20 minutes later, the other band finished, and this guy jumped up on stage. He was the singer in the Descendants, and he was raging like it blew my hair back. They were so good, and he was so good. And his name was Milo, and Milo actually. This song we're going to play is from the song Milo Goes to College, which the band broke up because he went to college to get a PhD in, I think it's biochemistry or something. But so go ahead and play American by the Descendants.
All right. Tell me if it's too loud or too quiet.
Okay. You can turn it up a little bit.
We flipped our finger to the King of England. The stole our country from the Indians. We got our side and guns in our hands. Took it for our own. Revelation dedicated to liberty. You don't wanna listen, you don't wanna understand. So finish up your drink and go home.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Sounds a lot like something Bad Religion would do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm recording. Yeah. We can talk
that's
about this.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, it has a line now. The cops got tanks because the kids got guns. Shrinks pushing pills on everyone. And this came out 31 years ago, man.
Yeah. I guess there's nothing new under the sun, huh?
Look at the picture of the singer. Worse. I just posted it in the
chat room.
Yeah, right. It's pretty awesome.
Let's take a look.
Yeah. He Milo, see how nerdy
that,
he looks.
Is that dude's name?
Yeah, and this is him on stage, which looks, you know, he looks nerdier off stage for sure. And I really like the cover of the record, Milo Goes to College. It's a caricature of him.
Nice.
Yeah.
I guess pretty awesome.
Yeah. You can see how he would not look, he would look out of place at a punk rock show and would need a friend, you'd think.
He needs a friend.
Yes. Angry punk nerd, Mark said. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So that was, I'm glad to turn you on to some old punk rock because you never liked punk rock back when it was out. You just, you know, saw Salt Lake City Punk and cut your hair funny.
No, I liked punk. Well, because of a chick I was trying to do and
what,
did do.
What bands, so, did you own what bands did you own records by?
Bad Religion. What's that? What's that one? NoFX. I liked NoFX. The Descendants. Rancid.
So you liked all the bands that were on major labels and in the top 40. Cool.
Kind of, yeah.
Those are not bad bands. Yeah. Those are all good bands.
Yeah, they're good. But, they're great bands.
But actually, Rancid Outcome.
I was in a high school, man. Yeah.
Rancid's Outcome the Wolves is still one of my favorite records of all time. That is just a blazing, blistering album.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Oh, I also liked MXPX and Blink 182, but I didn't
Wasn't
like
Blink 182. Wasn't MXPX Christian?
I don't think so.
I think they were.
Oh, maybe. I also liked Blink 182, but not. I liked them more before they went really pop. Like once they had videos on MTV, I didn't like.
MXPX is an American punk rock band from Bremerton, Washington, with connections to the Christian punk scene.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just like the song or two.
Another picture of them is them accepting the key to the city from the Bremerton mayor. Boy, Christian and statist, man.
All right, I guess I retract that. I don't know. I was young and dumb. I wrote a paper saying Bill Clinton was my hero. So, you know, we can't all be perfect.
I voted for the lady that wants to murder me for my guns now.
Did you really? I didn't know that.
I don't remember if it was Pelosi or Feinstein, but one of them was running for something that I could vote for on San Francisco ballot. I think it was...
She was running for supervisor?
It wasn't when she's running for mayor. That was before I moved there, when Jello Biafra ran against her. I think it was Pelosi as congresswoman. I think her district is San Francisco, and I did vote for her because, you know, I used to vote.
I think we're about to come on about soon.
It's coming on. I can feel it. It's coming on
again,
in waves.
877-357-9938.
There's
going
to be a Bang Brothers
877-357-9938.
You can sign up to receive the latest about the Liberty Radio Network, the
Tranny Hookers
updates,
and Croaking.
Updates.lrn.fm. That's updates.lrn.fm.
Yo. It's the Fiends.
Freedom.
We're back. We talked a lot during the break there. You can find that on our archive. Just go to freedomfiends.com. You know, the show archive, and you can listen to the stuff we record during the break.
It goes up about an hour. It goes up about an hour after the show.
Right. Right. And
this show is live
listen,
on January 27th, 2013.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We need a rack mount that'll keep us from talking over each other. It just decides which person is being more intelligent and then mutes the other person. You know, we could feed all the previous casts into it, and it would learn our voices and decide what we say and, you know, when it's good and when it's us talking about putting the tip in, and it would mute the person that's not being as smart at that time.
Oh, yeah. Somebody create a software plugin.
I think that software plugin is Mark, because he keeps telling us when we're clipping, which is good. Good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Basically, when we're clipping is when one of us is trying to talk over the other. So, some lady said
does that mean when both of us are talking, there's too much fiend in the butt? Phone. The butt fiend can't handle all that in it?
Saved by the
fiend
bell.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Hello, fiend. Who are you?
Hey, Michael. It's Jeremy from Northeast Ohio. How are you doing?
Hey, Jeremy. What's up?
Just real quick. I only got a minute. I was watching a documentary on Netflix. I know you watch a lot of movies and stuff on there. Have you seen Brzezinski, about that doctor down in Houston that does cancer treatments?
No.
You got to watch that. It's excellent. Now that I've told you, you probably might not want to watch it. But
no spoilers with documentaries. There really aren't. So go ahead.
Basically, it's about there's some IP implications. But mostly about how the FDA basically went after this guy for 10 to 13 years straight every year, even though his treatments were safe and they had a higher success rate than traditional chemo and radiation therapies with zero side effects. It was excellent. And basically just shows how fascist they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that you would like it. I think it would be worth checking out. I'm sure you'd probably have some opinions on it. I'm not real good on IP, but basically the only reason any of this happened was he patented the technology, and then in his he built a factory to produce the pills that he does to treat, and the pharmaceutical companies tried to take it from it. I don't know. I don't want to get too into it, but it's pretty awesome. And then also this is a fictional independent movie, but it just popped on Netflix streaming. It's called Primer, and it's awesome. So look that up. It's really good. That doesn't have anything to do with Liberty, but it's awesome.
Cool.
So Brzezinski and Primer for the folks who...
Yeah, Primer's it's about they're engineers, and then they basically work in their garage to start a new business and invent things. And they accidentally create a time machine, but it's not corny. It's really low budget, and it's awesome. And if you can figure it out, I would be very impressed upon just the first viewing. I had to look it up on Wikipedia after watching it like two or three times.
Cool.
And it's short. It's like 70 minutes. So,
all right.
But really good.
Thanks, Jeremy.
That's all I got. I will leave you now. Have a awesome, wonderful man. Sunday.
Worms.
Evening.
Right, thanks for the heads up, homie. Peace.
Worms. We always like good recommendations here at
a
Delicious
good
Dish.
Point that with the FDA, you get poison medicine. Not without it, with the FDA.
And they government guns. Poison. Government they guns. Keep,
yeah, exactly.
Speaking of government guns.
Yeah, speaking of government guns.
There's a video that we got queued up here. Hopefully we got it queued up past the ads.
Tell me if it's too loud or too quiet.
Well, let me introduce it. It's a minute and 25-second ad of Adam Kokesh doing what he does best. Really, I love it when he does this. He's talking to people on the street and getting them just showing the absurdity of the human condition, basically. It's some Obama supporter ladies saying people who don't support Obama should be shot. And this is what we're up against, man. It's like these people can vote. These people can direct government guns. And the government wants to kill you for your guns. Obama and my entire administration seem like they want to kill you for your guns. And
Well, it's important not only are these people who can vote, but they're most likely the people who do vote
there
more so than peaceful people.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Here we go.
Turn up.
Ma'am, were you saying that people should be shot for passing out those bad flyers?
No, we don't care if this is president. This is the United States of America. This is one of the best presidents we've ever had.
And if anybody disagrees, we should take him out, right?
No, people need to deal with that. You know, they can't get over it.
Well, are you an Obama supporter?
Yes, I am.
May I ask why?
We support him because I think that he's the president for all the people. He's not racist like the person he ran against.
Well, what if he's not the president for me? I don't support drone strikes that kill children overseas.
Good for you, sir.
So I just have to deal with it?
You're going to deal with it for the next 4 years?
And I should be shot?
He's the president for you.
I should be shot?
As long as you're in this United States, he is your president. If that's not the case, go back to your country.
Go back to where?
Go back to your country, she said.
Go back to your country.
Yeah, which is what the right wingers used to say. If you don't like our president, if you don't like America, get out. And this lady's saying, if you don't like Obama,
exposition.
Get out.
That proves it right there, right? That it's not about who has the power. It's about that power always corrupts. Frodo could have the Ring of Power and he'll be corrupt as much as Gollum or the little precious guy. You know, when the right wingers had power, that's what they said to people. And now that the people who haven't traditionally had power in America, now that they have it, they're saying the same stuff.
Well, they had it. You know, the Democrats had power back when the KKK was Democrats. And this lady's black and she should know that her party was the KKK.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you should also know, if you're a Republican, that Republicans were the first gun grabbers. Take a listen to Ben Stone. I guess it's not his latest, but one of his recent casts. Just go listen to all the Ben Stone casts because you have to.
I don't know if people heard that at the beginning, too. That lady did say people that don't support Obama should be shot. You didn't have it up loud enough, but she did say that.
Well, she was far away in the video, so it was quiet. Anyway,
I'll link that on the show. Yeah, show notes.
You should. Scary stuff, man. That regular people think this, and I guess it also goes to expose the point even further that it's really the horizontal enforcement that can be the downfall of society, that can plunge society into worse fascism than it already has. Is people being okay? Is people thinking, yeah, well, people who don't agree with me should just be shot.
Man.
Or people, like when I was a kid, people would say, oh, well, there's too many people in the world. We need a few more good wars to cull the herd.
You know, the American Communist Party, which is actually still a thing. I mean, I think they have about 1/20th the membership of the Libertarian Party, which has nothing. But there was an article on their site this week saying how great it is that Obama wants to have gun control. So, yep. Like all the classic communists of lore. Like Stalin and Mao. Communists support taking guns from the people and just having them belong to the government. And, you know, I will say this. I'm going to say this every cast, every show we do forever. L. Neil Smith has a great quote. It's people who want to take your guns want to do things to you that they couldn't do if you still had your guns.
Yep. Word, homie. Just let that simmer and sit, and we'll be back to eat it all up after we sell some things.
I'm going to go eat something up. Yeah.
Down.
Yeah. Worms. Worms. Worms.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Nima Vidati, also known as the Nima V. Sounds like Michael
Yo.
Just pressed record, so he's got to be here too. Did you have fun gulping down that food, Michael?
No, I cooked it. I'm going to eat while we talk. Or we'll take some more calls. Yeah, man.
What'd you cook? Is it Fiend's diet compliant?
It's one of the free meals, one of the cheater meals. It's teriyaki chicken.
You eat a lot of those cheater meals, don't you?
I'm not gaining weight, man. I think I got a tapeworm or something.
Oh, okay. Can I have one of those? How come they don't sell those as
diet supplements?
They used to
sell a one-time only pill in the late 1800s that would make you lose weight, guaranteed money back. That had a tapeworm.
It was a tapeworm.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
kind of, you know, and like the FDA always takes credit for like getting rid of things like that. But that's a good analogy for how the government works. Explain why that is.
Hey, man, some people want a tapeworm. Who are you to say they can't have a tapeworm?
Without the government, who would build the tapeworms? Hey, there's a woodpecker outside my window. Speaking of things that eat worms.
It seems like a tapeworm is a great natural diet pill. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know much about tapeworms, but I know it should be up to an individual whether a tapeworm lives in your belly and not some bureaucrat who has glasses and doesn't think that drinking is cool. That guy's square, man. Make your own decisions. Speaking of some bureaucrats and squares, I don't know if this has been talked to death or not because, you know, I haven't heard it. But then again, I don't watch a lot of mainstream news. So I don't know if Fox News has did a day's worth of coverage on this. But this struck me as really interesting, especially the language. The Senate in Missouri has this bill. It's called SB 121. And more than anything, I think it's – I don't know if this is how they always word their bills in Missouri. But here's the name of the bill. Quote, creates the crime of failing to stop illegal firearm possession, negligent storage of a firearm, and failure to notify a school of firearm ownership. So let's unpack that slowly.
Isn't that also the state where you can legally shoot a cop if he's breaking the law?
You're thinking of Indiana.
They're right next to each other.
But creates the crime is the first three words. That's the first phrase. Creates the crime.
They're stopping being Orwellian. You know, normally this would be like,
yes,
for the public safety of the children, but no, it's creates the crime.
Creates the crime. Why do they use the verb creates? I mean, if they buy their own BS, shouldn't they use the word recognizes? Like, this is already
lawmakers.
A crime and we're
making laws. They're creating crimes.
It's more transparent than I've seen the government ever be. We're creating
trickling down to the states to where we will be transparent in our language of how we put the gun to your head and kill you.
And if you're from Missouri and this is how they always word the bills, I don't know. I'm not from Missouri. Let us know. Or if you just know and you're not from Missouri, maybe this is how they've always said it.
Just walk up to a cop and say, show me, because it is the show me state.
Right. But creates the – not recognize the crime. We invented this. This is something we made up in our brains. We created this as a crime. Like, we're gods.
What's the new crime?
All right. So there's three things here. Failing to stop illegal firearm possession. Negligent storage of a firearm, and perhaps the most important that I think would rile people up the most is failure to notify a school of firearm ownership. And so,
if they tried that in Wyoming, they'd have to produce. First of all, no one would do it. Everyone would take their kids out and homeschool them. And thirdly, they'd have to create like whole new bureaucracies to deal with the paperwork because everyone owns firearms in Wyoming.
Right. Well, here's how they explain that. This act requires a parent or guardian to notify a school district or the governing body of a private or charter school. So you can't even get out of it for government approved schools, you know, private schools or charter schools, that he or she owns a firearm within 30 days of enrolling the child in school or 30 days of becoming the owner of a firearm.
I like Wyoming.
If you've got
man.
Kids in public school or private school, you have. If this bill passes, which it looks like it's on its second reading, and all actions, you know, all the actions that have happened to it, it says it was filed, first read, and second read. I'm assuming that means it must have passed the first reading. I don't know the logistics of lawmaking in Missouri, but to me,
they all
says
say show me. They keep saying
once.
Show me, and they have to be shown.
Is that how it works? I'll show you mine if you show me yours, kind of a thing.
And I'll just put in the tip of tyranny for now, baby. I don't like statists, and I don't like the state, and that's pretty much what I think about 24/7. But
yeah,
I prefer that I live in a state where, okay, like they're trying to pass this law you're talking about in Missouri. And it sounds like they may have a good chance of it. New York State is trying to pass far more draconian gun regulations than the federal government is going to get away with. Wyoming right now is trying to pass a bill that would allow you to hunt with a suppressor. In other words, and a bill that would allow, you know, sheriffs to arrest Fed goons for trying to enforce new federal laws against gun ownership here. But I love that like the gun law in other states is like, we need to track your guns and know about your guns, and your kids can't go to school, and it's a crime if they do, if you don't tell us about your guns. In my state, it's we want to be able to hunt with silencers.
And arrest federal agents for telling you can't have guns.
I like it. I really think
a bigger cage where you're at, Michael.
Yeah, so for gun owners. I really think that Wyoming is going to become pivotal, instrumental, important, and imperative in the upcoming gun battles with the federal government between the states. And I really think Wyoming is you're going to hear more and more about Wyoming. People never hear about Wyoming. We're never mentioned on the news, and I like it that way. The weather lady stands in front of Wyoming and gives the weather for the five states that touch us, never talks about us. I love it. I love that
right.
We just don't, you know, the White House can't find us on a map when they were listing.
they mixed Colorado and Wyoming.
Yeah, they can't find us. So I like that. But I think you're going to start hearing a lot more about Wyoming. And, you know, maybe Chuck Schumer will get Israel to nuke Wyoming at some point because they just won't comply. We will not disarm. Oh, wow. We will not conform, man.
You know, I think there's something to be said for the case you're making, mostly because in my experience, you know, I did live for 2 years in Wyoming, which isn't a whole lot. But in my experience, Wyoming was more homogenous in people's feelings about gun laws than anywhere I've been. You know, in a place like Texas, which some people think is the Wild West and gun, it's not. You can't even open carry in Texas. And the reason Texas isn't super great on gun freedom is because you have cities like Houston and Dallas and San Antonio and Austin that are very urban, that fancy themselves as very cosmopolitan, and have large contingents of Democrats that pee their pants at the sight of black scary rifles. Whereas in Wyoming, you don't have anything like that. The biggest city you guys have is Casper and Cheyenne, where everybody feels pretty much the same way as you do about guns.
Yeah, where when I do a private sale and sell a gun, it's to my state rep. Right. And you actually open carried a rifle before I ever saw anybody do it, before it became national news. You do it in the Guns and Weed movie.
I do.
It's not a scary black rifle. It's a deer rifle with a scope 308, which, you know, in
but
some ways
308 it was semi-automatic scarier. Or was it bolt action?
It's bolt action, but in some ways, in the right hands, probably not yours or mine, that would be scarier than an assault weapon.
Not to a Democrat. That's a
sniper.
Not at all to a Democrat.
Well, because that's a sniper
rifle. They're scared
of
something if it has a Picatinny rail and a shoulder thingy that goes up and a folding stock. Then they're scared.
Yeah, and it's not like black and scary. It's green and kind of grandpa-y looking. But and you're wearing a suit and open carrying it in the Guns and Weed movie
gas.
Like 4 years ago. Yeah, and you know, I said somebody yelled at you for doing that and you didn't remember, but I went back and looked at the raw footage. There were two guys who pulled up and they were like, "You're gonna get shot doing that," like two good old boys. I don't know
who's
what
gonna shoot me. How did I respond?
Yeah, it's what you said.
Oh, is it? Wow.
And they went and drove off. And you know, you walked up to the sheriff of the county, not a sheriff, but the sheriff, who is not a Liberty guy for this county. You walked up to him open carrying a sidearm. And,
not just one. No, it was like a group of sheriffs.
It included the sheriff. And you didn't, you know, he didn't like it. And he said something to you about it and said he was going to call your boss and restrict your news channel.
He did call my boss.
But you try that in Texas, you'll get swatted.
Yeah. Yeah, they will crash the drone into your car they crash it into their tanks.
You try that in Missouri, you'll end up in a mental hospital. Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
That's a good Chinese food.
I'm hungry again now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yo.
Bam! Got my Gumby gold, yo. It's the Freedom Fiend with me, my Fiend, and my Fiend. That's us. Hey, Michael, I'm eating one of my favorite foods, and it's also Fiends compliant. And it's prepper food, too. I'm eating a can of bristling sardines, which, for those folks who think sardines are gross, try bristling sardines. They're a little bit different. They're smaller. They put them in two layers. It's not like the whole chunk. Like, you don't actually eat the liver of the fish and can tell you're eating the liver, which I don't mind. I really like regular sardines, too. But bristling sardines are smaller. They're like bite size, and they're fantastic. Eat them.
I like that show, How It's Made, you know, where they go into factories and kind of play like electro disco music while the machines dance. I watched one on how sardines are made the other day, and I will never eat one of those things again, man. Why? It was actually a particular kind of sardines. They're from Norway. They're like fermented sardines.
Were they kippered sardines?
Yeah. It was the kind that you have to open outside because it sprays like a toxic liquid smell that you can't clean off your house or clothing. And it showed good Norwegians different. Out in their yard opening this giant can and smiling.
I love seafood, though. That's my thing. I'll eat sardines.
I like the Futurama where sardines are the most valuable thing in the world and there's only one can left. No.
Anchovies. People always mix those up. People who aren't canned fish aficionados. Okay, Pizza boy. Mix those up.
Pizza man.
Hey, anchovies are a beautiful thing and I will not have you deride them on our show.
Tell us the difference here on Delicious Dish.
Well, sardines are meant to be eaten right out of the can. Anchovies are usually meant to be cooked or prepared in a certain way. Sardines are larger. Bristling sardines are a little bit larger, and regular sardines are way larger.
Bristling will kick your butt. Yeah, I'm looking at anchovies.
Anchovies are usually just a fillet. Sardines are the whole carcass of the fish minus the head.
You know, I'm looking at anchovies on Wikipedia. They basically look like minnows, and I think they are.
They kind of are. And multiple kinds of anchovies. The anchovies on a pizza are just like a fillet, like they have no head, no tail, and they just have like the flesh and the spine. And they're salted. They're in a heavy brine. Spine. You lay them on a pizza. I usually lay one on a slice, before you cook it, lay it like where the slices will be, and so that there's one vein of salty, fishy goodness going up the length of the slice, and it is a wonderful thing. I call them the bacon of the sea, and to me that's what they are. And for those of you who are like, ew, I would never do such a thing, Caesar salad, what makes Caesar salad so good is that subtle salty anchovy flavor, which is in Caesar dressing.
Caesar salad sounds Worcester really sauce, status to me.
It kind of does, doesn't it? If you love Worcester sauce and like to put it on your burgers and your steaks or whatever, also what makes Worcester sauce so great is that subtle, salty anchovy flavor. So don't hate on anchovies.
The terms sardine and plichard are not precise, and what is meant depends on the region. What's a plichard? Sardines are various small oily fish within the herring family.
Ah, yes.
And that
I've
is
never
not
seen
true.
A red sardine, though.
Anchovies are a family of small, common saltwater forage fish. Doesn't forage fish mean garbage eaters?
Probably. Yeah. I never bought that argument, though, that, you eat bottom feeders and it's gross, because whatever, man.
You like the insects of the sea? That's what I call shrimp and things like that. Lobsters.
Oh, I do.
Insects of the sea.
I most definitely do.
Yeah, man. Mud bugs.
Oh, crawfish? Oh, I'll eat crawfish.
Somebody told me they went to a place in... Ben Quaker was going to a bar in Alabama on the ocean called Mud Bugs and Suds.
Hell yeah. Beer and crawfish boil. Man, yeah.
He's living
that's
the life.
The
He's living the life,
That's one
man.
Of the best things about living in the South.
He's retired.
Texas,
He's driving around, the country in a van solving mysteries with his wife and podcasting.
Well, he hasn't driven much lately. He's been staying in Gulf Coastal Alabama for a week and a half, 2 weeks now?
I see the drones locking in from, you were telling me about this drunk mobile in Austin. Tell me about that. The pedo drunko.
Yeah, I wanted the legality and how this came about. But lately when I've been downtown, I've been seeing this thing. It's like instead of a bicycle built for two, it's like a bicycle built for 12. There's a bench.
It's a table that you pedal.
In the middle is a bar with multiple taps for different flavors.
Is there a bartender, or is it serve yourself?
I guess it's serve yourself because it's such a small bar that your elbows are on it, and people are. I guess they just pour their own, and everybody pedals. So there'll be eight people, four people on each side, one person in the back, and one person in the front. I guess the person in the front must be sober and just steer. At least that's what you were positing.
Otherwise, it's 12 people drunk driving and paying to do it and being very visible doing it. Although I have an alternate theory that the designated driver is a Cheeto eater in an underground bunker in Nevada, and he's just steering it on a predetermined route.
Yes, yes. Oh, speaking of that, I was thinking
the
somebody
drunk
should
drone,
do a
the drunk drone, man.
Right, right. Nice. But I just thought that would be, I mean, that sounds kind of fun until you realize it's not good to mix physical exercise with booze, in my experience.
Yeah. It's even worse
to
mix
heartburn and sweaty, and then you feel nauseous. Doesn't sound like a good idea.
According to my old roommate back when we were recently sober, he told me this. It's even a worse idea to mix exercise with methamphetamine. He tried it once, shot a bunch of speed, went to the gym, jumped on some machine, and was about, like, felt like he was dying.
Almost had to have a heart attack.
A minute and a half later. Yeah.
Huh.
And he was young and healthy. So
when I was in college, I
was
kind of
fond, as at home,
as lots of college students are way back in the day, of taking Adderall or Ritalin every now and then. And I found that if I worked out, you know, if I was done studying and I went to the gym, that it made me feel really good. Like my muscles would tingle.
Kids,
now that's low dose, like the kind of stuff you get.
Don't try this
kids,
at home.
But
don't try this at home.
No, don't try it at home.
They give a lower dose to kids. Adderall is higher dose, isn't it? I mean, isn't that the stuff people abuse to study?
I imagine
when
you take crystal meth, you probably have a lot higher dose than the pill form.
Yeah. People get prescribed. People take heart stopping amounts of it. People shoot, you know, a quarter to a half gram of it, and it's I've heard it's mind blowing. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's one drug I've never tried, and probably
because I can't remember. Because you know, when I used to do that back in the '80s, I'd do it and I'd just end up, you know, bedding down with a tranny hooker all night.
You've tried it before?
No.
No.
Okay. I read it in a book, Starving the Company of Beautiful Women.
A book that you wrote. You read it in a book that you wrote.
I read it in a book that I wrote. Nice. I like that. Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah. Arkinside. I think we should talk about Arkinside.
Okay. That's Bill Clinton killing people.
Well,
does
that's
it count when Hillary kills them?
Yeah. That's Arkinside. Because
then
too.
Wouldn't the whole Libyan war be Arkinside?
Yeah. You know, I heard a really good, speaking of Clinton. Oh, our boy, Cody Wilson, our friend, not our boy.
Yeah.
He's our boy in the pure sense of the word.
Boy.
Cody Wilson. You know, I have a saying. You're nobody till you're entered into the congressional record, which is kind of giving a lot of weight to the state, but it's actually saying that people who can command armies and have, you know, have you killed legally, although they never declare war anymore. But there's a congressman who is rushing to pass a law against downloading printable gun designs, which is, it's our boy Cody
Wilson.
Silly,
and how would they enforce it? And ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody was saying in an article on that, maybe this is just sort of their backdoor to clamping down on the internet vis-a-vis the Great Firewall of China or like Iran's internet kind of a thing. Because really, how would they prevent that from happening without keeping way more control on the internet than I think they ever logistically could?
And it was a Democrat, but you know, it could have just as well have been a Republican because they've been pooplicated by this point. Now, for those who missed our cast... Pooplicated. All right. Nima took a picture and sent it to me.
Pooplicated.
While he was out delivering pizzas, he took this picture of this graffiti, and somebody had, it wasn't a tag. It was just, you know, words. It wasn't well done. It was just spray painted sort of kill Arapest today style. And it said, Santa cannot be duplicated, which is weird. You know, maybe the tagger's name was Santa, but he didn't really have any skills to be proud of. But somebody had gone over it and changed duplicated to pooplicated. So Santa cannot be pooplicated. And we really were riffing on that word for a few days on the cast and off. And we decided that pooplicated is the term for Republicans and Democrats becoming so like each other that they're indistinguishable. They pooplicate.
Yeah. Because it's a bunch of bull stuff.
Plop.
Pooplicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if we use that one more time, we can add it to the glossary.
One more time, pooplicated. No, we have to use it in context. Okay, we'll wait till the next cast.
I think we should. I think we should put tube industrial complex in there. We do have an entry for tube based economy. I'm just gonna put also known as the tube industrial complex.
There you go.
So, Arkansas, do you want to close with reading the on the interview with Cody Wilson? Who's the guy in Texas that everyone says is nuts, but I like him? Alex Jones. Alex Jones interviewed Cody Wilson and was talking about printable guns, but brought up the guy who killed himself recently, supposedly killed himself, but Alex Jones called it Arkanside, and I had to look that up, and it's the unfortunate habit of potential witnesses of the Clintons' dirty dealings in Arkansas suddenly deciding to shoot themselves twice in the back of the head. And until next week, yeah. Fiends, it's been good.
Oh, yeah. We love
Vince
Fiends.
Foster. Google Vince Foster.
Vincent Foster.
He was Arkansided, allegedly.
He was Arkansided.